Review Bicentennial Regional History. March 1st,
1976.
Hi.
Huge stones that are about that wide and that tall.
3 feet long, 3 feet wide, maybe?
More than 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
Them all around. And they get chairs like them boxes.
He said like the 10-gallon can boxes, you know?
Yeah.
Along the wall of that.
Yeah.
Like somebody carved chairs.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think that the stones were hand cut?
Yeah, hand by the hand.
Not natural rock.
No. They made it by the hand.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big rock too, big stone, but that's white, just like they saw it, like that. Real nice one.
Is that on the inside of Kargi, like to make
inside
a bench?
Inside the Kargi.
Like by the door?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then would that have been covered with sod?
No, just the block like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, do you mean that honey?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they covered with a skin, I guess.
Uh-huh. Probably was covered with skin before. Probably covered with skin.
Uh-huh.
And so the frame.
That's a meeting house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then right here. There's a big mountain way up,
mm-hmm.
and then from here you could see the flat one, big flat rock, and you could see a long way, from way out, from here.
Mm-hmm. From that side?
Yeah.
If you're up on top of the big flat rock, would you be able to see the caribou coming?
You could see from inside the hole. There's a hole right there.
Mm.
And there you could see that much higher than. There's a big flatten on top.
I see.
So you could see long ways. Mm-hmm. And the people down there, you could see them make some kind of noise, I guess, mm-hmm. when they see something, animals or...
Oh, that would they look out?
Yeah.
That would...
Just like a horn.
Okay. Look out for hunters or animals
or
somebody else who might be
coming. You know there's... with net horn?
Uh-huh.
That's what they make horn.
Oh, the ram horn.
Yeah.
That's what they use for,
and they can blow on
it. Yeah, they blow
it
so the people could hear
mm-hmm.
from a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of?
And then strangers or we ate the
mm-hmm.
human.
Mm-hmm.
They make
mm-hmm.
horn.
Uh-huh. And then when the warriors or strangers come, then they made noise with the ram horn.
Now, what kind of a noise would they have made? Would it have been long and continuous,
yes.
or one, two, three?
No, long when they get.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they see caribou, they make different kind of noise,
mm-hmm.
I guess, too.
Oh, different sounds
yeah.
for different occasions, for
yeah.
different happenings.
Kind of
sign language. For Nortag village, this is new. This old one,
Tukkallapeyala.
Okay. Would you say that once more?
Tukkallapeyala, very old, very ancient.
And she was going to say, a pyramid, or Lakshmarad, pyramid that comes out, which is a Kadapali. It is a town of Simad.
Oh.
Or Lakshmarad.
Okay.
There was
an Otak man who had two wives, and when we took them through here, they'd hold on to him because there was some kind of a magnet or a pole in that area, magnetic field.
And then when you climb up on top here, you would go to sleep. And you sleep just like you were drinking.
I guess the elevation is so high that if when you climb up there, you get lightheaded like you were drunk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And nanimi a senyu va senya uyarak aglakta fitta.
When you say anok tesma tepka aglak misat kasi ye di jorak lagit.
Oh.
Kasi ye tu aglak kalau tu sini tu boleh jalan.
Point big side tu. On a huge rock on this side of the Khaliri over
it's
here.
It's on the south side.
On a large flat rock is some writing that none of them have been able to decipher.
What kind of writing? What does it look like? Is it long, slender
marks? Yeah, some kind of writing art, but I couldn't understand what's in there. Some kind of mark, but they could understand.
Could you draw me later on a picture of what kind of marks it looks like?
Yeah,
sure. All right. Now let me ask on the karagi here. Do you think that was something that was occupied for many years, or was it something that people came only in the summertime?
In the summertime and wintertime, they used this
both.
Land. Yeah, both.
Do you think there would have been a big village there at
one
time?
Yeah, big village. Many, many years ago, big village.
That was an ancient
this right here, on from here up the mountain, there's a village too, way down, and way up the mountain, and the village.
Sort of in between.
Between.
Uh-huh. Now, was that at Timberline?
No,
timbers at all?
Just the rocks.
I mean, uh-huh.
When you go up, you could see the villages, houses.
They slid some of this mountain to make room, you know, a dwelling area.
Like a terrace?
They made it sort of like a terrace. And then they also used logs, trees, for posts.
Would there have been four posts inside each house?
Yeah.
In the center of each house?
Some kind of
four posts, uh-huh.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now where would they have gotten their water? He said when you climb to the top of this mountain here, you can see the clouds at a lower elevation.
When you match it, it's like you're playing nothing. You couldn't stand nothing.
It's so high. I guess
this is 4969.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking something 4,000 feet, I would judge.
Something like that, yeah.
About 4,000 feet,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The air would be getting thin, all
right.
Mm-hmm. Now, where would they have gotten their water? Would they have had to carry
it?
But they would have had to carry it all that distance?
We make fire, we drink it.
But they would have to carry water up to their house?
They could carry it, I guess, from here to some kind of water.
Maybe in a bladder?
Some kind, I guess. When they go down, get some water from their leg and then go up again.
He was at Barrow recently, and evidently they told him that this is where the Barrow people came from.
Oh, yeah.
During the time of the hunger season, the famine time, they left the area and went up to Barrow. And so
they consider
that area their source of origin.
Is that right?
And there's the quail too, where they say quail right there. But they make big rocks and standing like that and put snares around.
Mm-hmm.
And they chase them and then make it snare.
Yeah, chase the caribou.
By dog team, how long do you think to go from no attack to desperation like?
From no attack? We start from here, we camp here, and then we stop here, and the next day we go. That's it.
So it's about 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days.
Mm-hmm. But is it easy traveling?
No.
No.
It's not really easy, but you lead them with the dogs.
And in the summertime, you could do it by umiak?
Yeah, umiak. You couldn't go up there. Too much sun.
Rapids?
They used seven drums, split open some drums and floated down.
When I see Pangani for the horse, even do the Sakuming Yadi thing back from the Kubun, and I see the road that time in the Kubun.
Now would this have been a place that was very good for hunting tuk-tuk?
Yes, you're right.
The best.
You're right.
How about in long time ago, goat?
My daddy used to chase him someplace right here, I guess, there's a Napasali grass in a V.
Mm-hmm.
And he chased him and they got in a hole. The room is sucking matter and Napasali.
Oh, oh.
These rocks that they stand up this way are Napasalika?
Yeah, Napasalika, like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
In a big V, in a big mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the J.J.S. I mean, he could break it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so...
Tigura.
I got their room numbers, too.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, so when they...
Now, when do they say, do they give any time, how many generations back, when Barrel people might have left there?
I don't know. Many,
just a
many,
long time.
A long time. The bone was there that high. But
there's a pile of caribou bones.
That went way, I guess. That went long. More long than this one.
20 feet by 10 feet.
Something like that.
Something like that for a pile of bones.
Mm-hmm. Caribou bones. So Lin Yen, when you talk to your Khadgi?
Khadgi,
the village bar.
When you talk to Khadgi, when you talk to
him. Okay. What do you think is to the land of your little?
Dear Chisuke?
Did it pay me? No time to pay money?
Oh, do you give us that time at Kuala for some of your people? You don't know the Ibak Sang or Kuna Jamak Nagla?
Damna, okay. Nananga Ibak Sang?
Eh?
Damna Sing, that's Banga Tasin, Damna Sing, make a day to what?
Ima Sing, make a day. Take a papa, be of two pinna ya. Muna Samoni,
keep chelik, Maraki, to be chelik.
Ti Muna Samoni, keep four or Kuna. Ah, that. Oh, Tigalla.
How big do you think the Karagi was? 50 feet across, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe that much long?
It's 20 feet, don't you think?
Maybe that much wide, maybe?
It was square.
Yeah, not square, around.
Round, oval.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Kind of wide, I guess. But they get just like this, just like that.
And the seating around the khadgi was of stone, but it looked like they were cut.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Many years
mm-hmm.
ago.
And the corral. Was the corral used to drive caribou in
yeah.
and hold them?
Yeah, the people chasing the corral. And they get snares all around.
Yeah.
See.
Mm-hmm. These rocks that they used was the area to which they herded
about
the caribou.
About
and
that,
then between
about that high, them rocks standing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All around.
Now, do you think that those rocks were also put there by humans?
By the hand.
By the hand.
Inuit.
And maybe they were put there to make the caribou think it was humans.
Because
they did this in eastern Canada. They put up mm-hmm. stones like this to confuse mm-hmm. the caribou, and that way you could drive them
mm-hmm.
against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it confused the herd.
Uh-huh.
Was it hunting trick?
Yeah, this is what he said.
That's
caribou,
what I think.
The caribou doesn't, you know, is confused when they're being driven.
Mm-hmm. I think that must be it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they make some kind of stand too like that on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Way over in the corner. It's like a man standing like that. Maybe some
mm-hmm.
kind of would stand so good. They could see, it, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go inside, they get scared and go away and they get snared right there.
Yeah, snares in between the rocks.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear your father talk about a stone where Angakok went to call the caribou? There was a place where he went to get the word to call, to summon the spirit of the caribou.
In that big lake, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That big lake, there's a spirit right here. And there's a fish right here, too. No. Right here.
So,
Ubin?
Akalit
and Gaya. Kanya, Chili. And
Nibiyat.
And Nibiyat. Shri Shri looked at him. Asa colored just like rain. No place to go out.
Bani Sak.
Hey, Bani Sak.
There's a lake. There's a lake with no river.
No outlet?
No outlet.
Where, no inlet?
Mm-hmm.
No.
A lake by itself with no outlet or inlet where there's a lot of fish.
Uh-huh.
When the hungry people many years ago walked
mm-hmm. And then during hungry times, famine times, that's a lake that the people used to go to survive the famine.
And some in the lake, small little lake, you chase it when they go inside. You know, if you are not talking about that, you spear them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With a three-pronged
Meister. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some seals are pretty long, but they're mm-hmm. long.
Fish 6 feet long?
Some did, yeah. Uh-huh. Some seal in the mm-hmm. by the close to that
mm-hmm.
lake.
Mm-hmm.
Real big one.
So make day through what long time
you? Itim Negroch.
Aye?
Itim Negroch.
Itim Negroch.
Eh?
Itim Negroch.
Eh?
Itim Negroch. Itim
Negroch. Itim Negroch. Itim Negroch. Itim Negroch. Itim Negroch.
Itim Negroch. Pani?
Itim Negroch. Itim Negroch.
Mm-hmm. How big would you think the lake was?
It's a small little lake, some big lake, some small
mm-hmm.
lake.
But there were a series of
lakes.
There's
some fish there.
Uh-huh.
Fish.
This was along the Noatak River?
Yeah, right by the Noatak River.
And you're saying that there was a rule that you don't go to that lake for fish unless it's starvation time.
No, he didn't say that. He just said that those lakes were well known for having a lot of fish, and then during starvation time, this is where people always went to survive.
The one big lake, I don't know how wide, how long is it? By the church, that long?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And kind of circled around. But just like rain, very terrible. See?
Mm-hmm.
No place to go out, no nothing.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of fish?
They may put net down the one of wood. They put net, they get fish, and they go home again.
Would that be sea fish?
No, it was. Grayling, some kind of grayling, sealing.
Mm-hmm.
Quite fish.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long ago did you last go here to Desperation?
About five or six years ago.
5 or 6 years ago. And you lived there with your dad when you were little?
My dad, we stayed here when I was little.
7, 8 years old?
Yeah, I go to school when I was 14, first grade. That's all, 1 year I go to school, and I quit school again.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from white men from English. Mm-hmm. We start from here. We talk to him, mm-hmm. him and I.
You and Barnell?
Yeah, and go inside and go back mm-hmm. to Cayenne and Mervic. We got you walking.
Mm-hmm.
From long way to Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to Cayenne or to Cayenne. And when I see Nakolunik, Kayam in the Kunuk, there was no room to be in it. She could tell her, she could tell her,
Now, Neb, would Tuktu have stayed in this area all winter long?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
Did they also sometimes migrate up to North Slope and then back?
And go back and come back again.
But as long as you stayed here, there were always sure to be some around that you could hunt in the winter time.
Them caribou, they never scare you. They go after you. They go like that to you.
They're curious.
They see what's there. That's like shoot, what do you mean? Lord man, they might like that.
Huh. He said in that area, the caribou are different. They're not shy of people. They're curious and their behavior is even different.
Even than you're walking, when you're backing, you follow you. What's going down there in the root?
Now, what would they have eaten on during the winter season? What would they have found?
Too many caribou.
Yeah, but what would the caribou have eaten? Was there dried grass?
Oh, dead.
Listen,
same thing with the like around here.
Same thing that they feed on in the lowlands.
Mm-hmm. So even though it's relatively high elevation, it must have been sheltered in there.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Must have been sort of protected by mountain range here, mm-hmm. from the eastern winds coming like this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we're
1850
or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was a little color back to what I'm doing.
That have to be an ancient area.
You should be foolish to go up and fly and charter. Only $300 charter from here.
Mm-hmm.
We could go see, make picture if you want to.
Come next summer. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good idea.
Pontoon with Ray Ferguson. You get pontoon.
I know. I have heard much about this stone carragie from there.
Yeah.
There's another one also, I think, up in here someplace, by Shumnak, somewhere in here. There's yet another one.
What they call it, Narvik. Where they used to cut up the sheep and dry the sheepskin.
But a stone corral and everything.
Right in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ned, did you have relatives living down at Millitek or at Kotzebue?
I had a lot of relatives.
He had family in Millitek and Kotzebue.
Now, who would have been a trading partner for your father? Is there someone special?
Navy Kakpa, Navy Kanglis Papa. He, little time
in
me, got to go. You remember,
His father had a partner from Little Dynamite.
Yeah.
And he would have met him.
In
Kotzebue.
Yeah, and they eat food together. And what kind you want to eat? Some linnik, some pig, you want? And I get it. And then I put it last year. Because some money, some linnik, some pig. They will want to kiss on it. And I see. But they come and say, that I'm going to eat up my last year.
And your father would have wanted ivory, and seal, and walrus, and seal oil, and muktuk.
Yeah, and trade with something.
Trade with whale, principally. And you had to give in return caribou hide.
Yeah.
And fish skins. And what else? Martin. Otter. Land otter.
Yeah.
Beaver.
Something like that, I guess.
Some things like that. Now, he would have met him, once a year during the summertime?
Yeah, summertime, yeah. It means summertime. Damn it. Pisiktaani ni.
The identity of the man from Diomede was known to have six wives, and evidently he was a medicine man where even if they shot him, he didn't die,
And my dad took self right here too when he couldn't die. Right here.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And he told the lady,
His father also carried a bullet in the back of his neck for years, and it was embedded in his neck, and the friends didn't remove it because they just felt it was too much in a
dangerous place.
Yeah, dangerous place to remove it. So evidently, when he was younger, he was shot and carried a bullet in his neck for years.
Do you have any idea who shot him? Was it Eskimo?
When he raised me up, he would travel when he hunt, when we stay about 30, 40 miles from there with the village. Winter time, in summertime, he only used to a lot of material. She go in there, she go down there, she go down there.
The only thing he never carried a gun himself personally. His father he had a stick with a metal blade, a spear type of thing. That's the only implement that he would carry.
Amo mong sili kanya tao tao ko ni Mitchell kung ko pa pang at niglu kung Mitchell ko pa pang at niglu sila daw ni Mitchell amo kana kanya tao tao ko ni picture na ra no ayo ra tao ni sa mga kasi upulak su de maso lamon marli di blu de masi kanya tao huda na malik mani tapo kanya tao ra su tapo apa ng blu sa mga kapu kani tak menemukan nak ke dalam tu, tak lalu nasi lebih tu, dah menemukan papu, kurban tu, angu kah tu, kamu dah nasi sebab mereka belum balok sebelum.
His father tracked down a wolf. He removed his clothes first, and then he tracked down the wolf, and then took his snowshoe and held it down there.
Yeah.
And then use his knife to kill it.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You and I see Edward eating dogs. When somebody's dogs come around, he after it and kick it with the feet, catch it with the feet, he even running. I'm going to go for it. 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 I'm going to go for it.
He said his father always told him that not to try to set himself up, to try to be a leader among people, I guess because of the kind of background he had, you know. It comes out anyway, you know.
Yeah,
without trying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Without the obvious effort.
Great. Shall we, you want to get on, shall we stop for the time being? We've got a big day tomorrow. He said his father had about 5 or 6 dogs, and then he'd travel on over to Kivalina and Point Hope, and then go to Kotzebue, and then he'd go back up to their original place.
And where in the summertime.
Yeah.
Not in the winter.
Wintertime,
in
the spring, in April, go down.
Uh-huh.
That was a yearly cycle of the people who lived like that. There are a group of Notak people who follow the caribou, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
And then they'd leave their boats in a certain place and follow the caribou, and evidently some of them would stop in here
and live there, and the rest of them would continue to follow the caribou. And but I guess his mother was from around the Kotzebue area, so he
went down for her benefit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then do you think, now something I've been recently reading says that they think all Eskimo culture came from inland areas such as this, and just as you were saying, like going from here to Barrow, they went from the inland to the coast.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And rather than starting in the coast and going inland.
Yeah, one fellow from start from here, a lady, young lady, but he got his husband from Kotzebue. When he's ang ayukan ay si Tukumada. Kuya biyay ni makunang biyay ni nakitulo siya kanya mo. Nakisaka ako na yun. Ang udadong lagmani. Lang, ngayok tolo dang na yun. Binutik na, utik na ang udad sa itara mo. Lahasi. Tawag na ngut ka. At kamulolak sa ako.
Usaga ala persoratin ang inyupedgok. Pukakto kaming naging aulang nila kapat. Naga, makungkong ninyo, aulang
Okay.
Now Faratino is from his knowledge, and the people at Barrow, they consider themselves having originated in this area. Now he's not sure whether they came from this area or not, because his knowledge is from this area.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a question we can ask of some of the others about going down to Southern Kotzebue. Because maybe Eskimo culture is not really a seacoast culture. Maybe it's first an inland culture that moved to the sea.
That'll be an interesting part of the study, you know, where
it would help the archaeologists a great deal. If they knew what local people thought.
Yeah, he was talking about the survival boats that were left on mountaintops.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, in the days when the earth was covered by flood, and they took to their boats and survived on mountaintops. He said there's also some old ships, survival ships,
used along in here. Mm-hmm. But this would have been a good place.
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's high enough. Mm-hmm. It would have been above.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Personnel is interesting too for that.
Alright, we'll follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. If you read some of that literature, you'll read about Purcell.
Yeah, we'll do it tonight. I'd like a busy evening.
Come on in now, money. One is a man, money. Number, knock door. Again, the saloon, up that look. Open the army, huh? Keep the words at my look. Tuk the king, you can't do it. Never said me, you look. I see when I have to look, be careful. So, this can you only got to hunger look on the Malini naik buk, negasuk payah dikit apa, kan bahan tewek, ni ada pilihan kami. Bapak kan pilihan kami udek resok, pengasih si utmuk non, dan bahan nanti saya makan lah, hubung dah nak duduk. Eh, tak payah mana lah. Saya masih ni kekang pilih setelah kenyak lu. Eh, menolak lah kena memang pilih tengah lah kama. Eh, menolak lah. Kami ini kan, si utmi kan, si pudul kena bekan.
Jadi
kamu itu bisa keluar sih, ilu sih dia terus kenyang keluar menolak tu. Nah, dah dia makan tu ilu nepan tu aja.
He was talking about when they were there, and it was the time of year when they didn't have very much food left, and caribou came by, and
they took off after him. One took off after him without any clothes, and all he had was shorts. And the other man couldn't take it anymore because there were too many mosquitoes. He went back, and then and he kept right on and got the caribou and just took the gut out and then went back home, you know, to go get it. Rachel.
Did you ever see them, see that he took to go into the water and swim to get rid of the mosquitoes on their eyes?
When you wet, they never catch too many right away, but when they try, when it when you get dry, with you
He said the mosquitoes follow them anyway, even through the horn, you know, even when they're out there.
Terrible mosquitoes.
Yeah.
What did you do to escape the mosquitoes?
I used to, when we stay up there, you know, when you cook products, you know, when you
He said they'd take branches, willow branches, and beat in front of their faces. He said that's the only way they could breathe without breathing the mosquitoes in and out.
Too many mosquitoes.
His father had two holes where he had his tutak, and when they first opened them, he used wood plugs until they healed up and, you know, enlarged the hole. And then he had ivory tutak.
Were they big ones? Were they
little ones? Yeah, little tiny ones.
Do you know, did he ever tell you who made the first cut, whether it was a man or a woman or his mother or Angakok?
I don't know.
I guess it was in the days when they had flint knives, and so they used the flint knife to cut the holes.
Did you ever see some who had tudok of jade, cobalt jade?
Oh, down the...
Kotzebue?
Yeah, little time.
In Little Diamond?
Yeah, down in Niven?
Jade the Miglet, the from the spa? He said his father used to... when he was chewing tobacco, spit through the hole.
Ah!
Yeah.
Now, did he take them out at night when he went to bed?
Yeah.
And when he was eating?
Yeah. When he used sometimes, but he never used it all the time.
Uh-huh.
When he traveled around, he never... When he could come out to the regular, he came out to the regular.
Do you know...
When he was out traveling, he didn't wear them, except when he was home.
And why did he wear them? Was it to look nice?
No, was some many, many years ago, I guess. Today too.
This was the at that time it was a sign of manhood.
Uh-huh.
Of reaching manhood.
Uh-huh. And did your mother have the tattooing on her chin?
Right here.
Yeah.
She used to have my own wooden dog.
Uh-huh.
So coming leave
now when you shot your first game, did they have a ceremony for this? The first time you shot a seal? Did they cut up the seal in a special way and give it to everyone else?
Well, it's still the custom today where it's divided, especially to older folks.
Right.
Yeah.
And the person who wants it, the young person, doesn't get anything.
Mama.
A sign of manhood.
And the old folks told him that if a person wants to live long, then he should be generous with the animals that he's got. Give them to people. Be generous with what he gets, because then, it assures him a lot.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And live longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, who lived with you up at Desperation Lake? Your father and you, your mother. Who else was in the house?
McKee.